In December, we of course are thinking about our Savior's incarnation. And I am very thankful that the Lord has come into such a world as this. And we're going to read God's Word from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. Galatians, chapter 1. And I would agree with Brother Spurgeon, who said that the greatest commentary written on the book of Galatians was written by the German reformer Martin Luther. And I sometimes keep that book in my study here. And sometimes I keep it in my study at home. And this last week I was sort of in a panic. Where is this book? I was looking low and climbing high and trying to find it. John Bunyan, when he was going to prison, he said, "Besides the Bible, there is one other book I want to carry with me to prison." That is Luther's commentary on Galatians. So I'm going to quote a little from it today. I like Brother Luther, he said, "The gospel is such great artillery that it destroys the papacy." Well, let me get on that. So we'll begin reading in Galatians chapter 1 and the first verse. And we're not going to read very far. Let us notice carefully these short but powerful words at the beginning of this epistle. Verse 1, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Now, Galatia was not a city, but it was a region. And there were many churches of Galatia. Verse 3, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. We do trust that God, the Holy Spirit, who breathed these powerful words through the apostle of old, that he would breathe in this meeting today and in our hearts, in our understanding as we hear and consider the precious word of God. On a very sunny summer day, two families were having a picnic in the mountains beside a swift flowing river near a waterfall, very often the scene in North Carolina. As they were preparing to eat lunch, one of the little boys got too close to the water and he fell in. He started screaming for help, because the current was hurriedly carrying him away. The other dad, being nearest the stream, quickly plunged in after the boy. Being an excellent swimmer, he soon seized the boy and headed back toward the bank. But they were already well downstream as he angled toward the little boy's father at the edge. The rapid flow had taken them nearly to the waterfall, but at the last moment, the swimmer hurled the child toward the outstretched arms of his father, who grabbed his son and pulled him to safety, just as the rescuer was swept over the falls to his death. This is a tragic but a wonderful rescue, but it only dimly illustrates our text at the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This text, in it we see three things about the rescuer, the greatest rescuer of all. We see His person, the person, the price, and the purpose. The person, the price, and the purpose. The person is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. A very interesting way that it's put, isn't it? And then we see this very purpose, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. The price was Himself. So we'll look first of all at the person. Verse 3 ends with the words, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. It's very important to note that it was our Lord Jesus Christ that gave Himself for us. It was not gold nor silver that He gave for us. It was not beasts or angels that He gave for us. Christ did not give the whole world, nor did He give 10,000 worlds for us. He gave Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. As Martin Luther said to the erring Galatians, Paul had nothing in his mouth to tell them but Christ. To abandon Him or to add to Him the works of the law would bring certain and eternal destruction. So we begin to see how important even the little words in the text are, like Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins. It's very important because the New International Version and the English Standard Version, the ESV, both leave out our. And for no good reason. There is absolutely no excuse for their inconsistency here, because even two of what they call the most ancient manuscripts have it. Papyri number 46 and also Vaticanus have the word our before Lord Jesus Christ. Here, I say, is a definite minimizing of the person of Christ. You may think it's nothing, but the NIV actually leaves out 64,098 words that our Bible has in it. That's not a small thing. The Word of God must be handled by mankind, and even those who would translate it, it must be handled with great reverence, because it is no ordinary book. This is the book of the true and eternal God. So let us lift up Christ and not minimize Him in any way whatsoever. We see, first of all, the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the price, who gave Himself for our sins. He gave Himself for our sins. Very important distinction here. He gave Himself for our sins. This doctrine of Christ, voluntarily taking upon Himself our sin, permeates the whole book of divine inspiration. If you consider the Old Testament and the New Testament, what did He do? He gave Himself for our sins. Isaiah 53 said, He was wounded for what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for what? For our iniquities. He became a curse for us. He died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15. He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, Peter tells us. He gave Himself life and soul, body and blood, for our sins. He did it freely. He did it cheerfully. He did it voluntarily. The magnitude of his sacrifice shows the supreme folly of the Galatians at that time, or anyone today who would look anywhere else than to the Lord Jesus Christ himself completely and alone, to him for salvation. Now let me say that again. The magnitude of his giving himself a sacrifice for our sins shows the supreme folly of the Galatians or anyone today looking anywhere else other than to the Lord Jesus Christ himself completely and alone for salvation. How vain it is to trust in law works or in law rituals. How empty it is to trust in ourselves. How empty it is to trust in our ability even to obey, even to be a little worthy of this salvation. He gave himself for our sins. Now I've got to go to Luther again. Luther says, this shows that our sins are so filthy and so invincible that it is impossible for the whole world together to even pay for one of these sins. Sin is such an awful power that it could be put away by no other means. The blood of God, the Son, must be given as the only remedy for our sins. Praise God for his emphasis here. He gave himself for our sins. Now, if you don't get anything else today, please get this. This is the very crux of the message. He gave himself for our sins, for the sins of vile, filthy, wretched sinners. Now, isn't it easy for you and me to accept the fact that Christ died for Peter and for Paul and for the saints? Because subconsciously, we look on the saints as having some worthiness about them for this great salvation. But we look on ourselves as being so unworthy of this grace and salvation because we know something at least of our guilt, of the filth and the horror of our own sins. We sometimes detect fearful thoughts in our hearts and we dare not come near to God or freely accept the great treasure of the gift of salvation. But I'm afraid we are not grasping the awesome truth that God is telling us here, that Christ gave himself for our sins. He didn't give himself for our righteousness. He gave himself for our sins. Not for our holiness, not for our goodness, not for our obedience, not for our worthiness, but he gave himself for our sins, for all the ugliness of our depraved characters, for all the hideous secret sins in our hearts. Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He gave himself not for saints, but what did he say? Christ gave himself for our sins. Can we not therefore see that if we dare to stand off from him for a moment, if now we hesitate and do not run immediately into Christ's open arms to rest in him and to rest in his righteousness alone, it is our own pride. It is that dooming, destroying, selfish, spiritual pride that within us somehow promises us that we will do better, that we will clean up our act, that we will get it right so that we can go to him at some time in the future with some worthiness in ourselves to deserve salvation in some way. And do we not hesitate because of the sense of our own uncleanness and unworthiness and unfitness before God? But here is the gospel. Oh, my friends, this is the very dooming and soul-damning trap that the Galatians had fallen into. Yes, they wanted Christ. They wanted Christianity. But they wanted to add to it a little work, just a little worthiness of their own. This is to completely miss the good news of the gospel. For what is the good news? Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Not for our righteousness, not for any worthiness that we will ever be able to work up at any point in our lives to make ourselves in any way deserving of this salvation. Oh, we must quickly notice our third point. We have seen the person, our Lord Jesus Christ, the price He gave Himself for our sins, and finally the purpose, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Here is a rescue that is greater than being saved from death at a waterfall. He gave Himself to deliver, to rescue us from this fleeting, passing, evil age. He's to deliver us, He gave Himself to deliver us from this evil world, not from the matter of the world, but from the mind of the world. Not from the material world, but from the malignant passions and practices and the degrading influences and the demoralizing nature of the world. He gave Himself to deliver us from the enchanting philosophies of the world, that we be no longer enslaved to the opinions, to the customs, and to the fashions of the world, because they're passing away. But especially, He has come to give deliverance. In the context of Galatians, Christ gave Himself to rescue us from the false teachings of the evil religious world. And here it is, to deliver us from glorying in man-made righteousness. Deliverance by Christ from all that is put in place of Him. All of this rescue was according to the will of God, our Father. The will, the purpose, the decree of God was predestined from all eternity. If you notice there in verse 4, it says, according to the will of God, our Father. Here is the beauty of the Holy Trinity. Each person concurring and cooperating in their various covenant offices and covenant obligations, the Father choosing us, ordaining us, and sending His Son for us. The Son giving Himself, assuming our nature, taking our sin and our guilt upon Himself, and then fully satisfying divine justice in our behalf. And then the Holy Spirit applying the work of Christ to us, giving us new life, giving us faith and repentance, by His divine power. What a rescue. What a rescue God has ordained and executed. Deliverance from an evil world, because this evil world will burn with fire. Now, dear friend, if you were still under the dominion of this evil age, I beg you, I urge you to flee for your life, to escape, that you be not consumed. Fix your eye on the bleeding Savior. See the justice of God laying your guilt on Him, punishing your guilt in Him. Oh, amazing love, that God would put His well-beloved to death that we might live by His blood. Dear believer, our lives should be forever filled with praise. As we remember His love and His foreordained grace that blesses us now and shall bless us to the farthest reaches of eternity future. You see how the apostle closes this short message in verse 5. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise be to the triune God. Let us pray. O God, our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Christ. O God, in the midst of all of the wrapping paper and all of the fast trips made here and there, O God, we pray that Thou wilt cause us to look on Him who gave Himself for us, for our sins. Lord, we sometimes feel so guilty. And we thank Thee that we're supposed to feel guilty. We praise Thee that it is our privilege when we sense our guilt to run to Thee. Because Christ alone and that great work that Christ has done is the remedy for all our guilt now and forever. We thank Thee that all worthiness is in Christ, that there is no worthiness in us. Teach us Thy way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.